Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour 3, we're live. It's L.A. The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio and iHeartRadio, not on FS1 today. Hopefully back at on FS1 Monday. We got to read a spot here. Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades, available at Walmart, last 2 times longer than other blades. Please use them. By the way, I'm having some delicious California fruit this morning. Do all states have fruit this good?
What is California fruit?
Oh, the strawberries. It's just so beautiful. It's the winter, and the fruit's so good.
Strawberries and pineapple are my favorite.
I can't do pineapple. It's something about the roof of my mouth. And
a lot of people can't do pineapple, but those two are my favorite. I can't do cantaloupe and honeydew.
You know, whenever you go to a restaurant, you order a fruit cup, and they always give you the green melon.
Honeydew.
Yeah, it's like, nobody likes that. What's the point of
that? It's one of my, you have controversial takes. It's one of my most controversial takes is that those two fruits are filler fruit. They're just there to take up space where better tasting fruit is supposed to go.
Yeah, because it's cheaper. Strawberries cost more and blueberries cost more and pineapple cost more. So they put in more green, what's it called again?
Honeydew melon.
Nobody likes it.
No one. It's awful.
There's nobody, I've never met anybody, I've never been at a car wash, struck up a conversation, and the guy says, "You know what I love? What? Honeydew melon." It's never happened. Not one time ever. It's the Bondo. It's a filler. It's a filler fruit. That's all it is.
It's like wet styrofoam. It's just pointless.
Here's another opinion that is not popular, but I don't think John Belushi was that funny. I'm sorry.
Well,
I think Chris Farley's way funnier. I thought Bill Murray was way funnier. There's a reason Chevy Chase and John Belushi's movie careers were like one or two movies, that's it. They weren't as funny as Bill Murray or Eddie Murphy. They weren't as funny. And I think Chris Farley was funnier than John. I'm watching the Showtime last night. Nothing against him. I feel bad that he passed away, and it's nothing against his family, but he was a big physical presence that worked well on stage, Second City in Chicago, Saturday Night Live. But there's a reason Bill Murray had a much greater film career. I mean, Bill Murray's film career is unbelievable. He's funnier. It's like there's a reason Jerry Seinfeld's worked. He's funnier than most of the comedians that have a shtick. Andrew Dice Clay's not as funny as Jerry Seinfeld. That's why one guy has to rhyme with nursery rhymes and swear, and the other guy can just do, like, observational humor. And one guy's funnier. If you got to go to
He was spectacular in A Star is Born, though.
Who was that? Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah, I'm not saying he's without talent. I'm not saying John Belushi's without talent. He's very talented.
No, but shtick is harder to stretch on the screen.
Exactly. And Belushi was a big physical presence, and it was great on stage at Second City, live, Saturday Night Live, but it didn't play as well in movies. That physical presence didn't play as well. Same with Chevy Chase. It just didn't play as well. It's not that they didn't do good movies, Animal House or Vacation, Fletch. There's talent there, but Bill Murray's like done 20 great movies. It was more intellectual. I thought Phil Hartman was underrated. He had no physical presence. I thought he was wildly underrated because academically I thought Hartman was brilliant. Some guy, by the way, Chris Rock, bad in movies. Chris Rock, good on stage. Like, it varies. Some people can transcend platforms and some don't, right?
Comedy is also very interesting. It's interesting to try and transition from comedy into more serious movies. Like, some do it very well. And you wouldn't think so, but it's just because comedy is actually very serious, right? Like great comedians, you say it all the time. Great comedians take it very seriously.
Yeah, the best advice I've ever been given in my career in the last decade. In fact, let me think of the years. Yeah, about a decade ago. A smart guy said, in a serious business, have a sense of humor. And in a funny business, be serious. And it is absolutely spot on. If you think about it, The people in comedy that are serious craftsmen, radio's fun. Howard Stern's a serious businessman. So was Rush Limbaugh. So is Rachel Maddow, Tucker Carlson. You know, it's like TV's fun. By and large, it's not ditch digging. These are fun businesses. Take it seriously. And in the serious stuff, you're an accountant, have a sense of humor. It'll go a long way. If you're in politics, that's a serious business. Ronald Reagan and Obama had a great sense of humor. They could be really funny. It goes a long way. You know what I mean? Laugh at yourself, joke, because politics is hard and serious. It's okay to laugh at yourself once in a while.
The concept of balance.
Yes. I don't even know where we're at right now. Oh, I want to throw this out there. So there's different ways to break up. There's it's not you, it's me. There's pick a fight, create drama so you can exit it. Say, look, we just don't get along. Or you can just like ghost people. There's different ways to tank. And people say, well, nobody in the NFL tanks. Well, the players don't. But the Jets and the Jags are tanking. I'll give you an example. Sam Darnold's not going to play this week. Oh, he could play. It's a pain tolerance issue. Joe Flacco is a shot fighter. They're not going to play Sam Darnold. Why? They want the number one pick. And they don't want Sam Darnold to get hurt and be less valuable on the market. They're moving off Darnold. And by the way, why didn't they fire Adam Gase? Because he's a flailing head coach, and you don't want to bring an interim in and give the locker room energy. Greg Williams went 5-3 at Cleveland. Raheem Morris winning in Atlanta. Romeo Crennel winning in Houston. Interim coaches, Miami had one a few years ago, Dan Campbell. Interim coaches for like a month? They bring an energy into a locker room. Greg Williams' career is a series of interim coaching, and he's won games. So keep Gase. The energy's low. He's flailing. A lot of players don't buy in and don't play Darnold. That's what they're doing. If you wanted to win games, you do the Greg Williams interim thing. He'd bring in energy, and you'd probably win a couple. By the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars, same thing. Gardner Minshew could play. Nah! They could fire their coach, interim. Nah! They want the picks. There's two A-plus quarterback prospects. And then a bunch of good quarterback prospects, but not A-plus. The Jets and the Jags want them. So I'm not saying players don't tank in the NFL, but there are different ways to break up and there are different ways to tank. And if you're not playing a quarterback, Sam Darnold right now is not asking them not to play him. He's a big, strong, tough kid. He's like Deshaun Watson. If he can breathe, he can play. Okay? He wants to play. But they're not firing Adam Gase. It's not a great locker room. They're not playing Sam Darnold. They want a number one pick. And Gardner Minshew, I just saw the Jags change quarterbacks. They're under third or fourth. Minshew's better than all of them. That's that hand injury that never heals. You sure? All right. It looks like, to me, I feel like the top three of the NFL draft is set. You're going to have Jets, Jags, and Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not going to win a game without Burrow. So, you know, that's where you're going to be. And I think they're going to go. I think it's going to be great. I think Jets are going to take Trevor Lawrence. Jags are going to take Justin Fields. And then I think if I was Cincinnati, I'd take Penei Sewell, the left tackle for Oregon. And the Bengals have a really good left tackle in Jonah Williams. He's young. I'd move him to the right side, or maybe Sewell goes to the right side. So the first three picks are getting starters they want and players they need. I like when that. And then, by the way, if you start looking at like the fourth through the ninth pick, they all have the same record. That'll change. Then like the ninth through the 13th or 14th, 15th, New England's in that group. That'll change. It does look like Kyle Trask at Florida and Zach Wilson at BYU are going to go. They're going to go really early. Now, I've seen Kyle Wilson for 2 years. I've seen at BYU. I've seen Kyle Trask for 3 years. I saw him his first year with Molly. He didn't play very much. And then I saw him last year, a little inconsistent, but really talented. He was a highly, highly coveted recruit. And this year he looks great. So, and again, Mullen's a really good coach. He's going to get, you know, he was Dak Prescott's coach. Mullen's going to get the best out of everybody. He's really good. So outside of Saban, to me, he's the second best coach in the SEC. Jimbo Fisher's more recruiter. Same with Kirby Smart at Georgia. I feel like he's a recruiter. Same with Orgeron. I feel like Dan Mullen's a really good game coach and he can recruit. But my initial impressions on Kyle Trask were like, a little inconsistent, and now he's completing like 71% of his throws. And again, it's not saying that Kyle Trask isn't good and he needs Mullen, because everybody needs somebody. Jared Goff in the NFL with Goff is way better than with McVay than he is without McVay. And Garoppolo is going to be way better with Belichick or Kyle Shanahan than without. I'm just saying that I think when you look at Trask's last 2 years with Mullins, that's a first-round quarterback. Big guy makes throws, and now his completion percentage is—now he's added efficiency. So talent, he was a top recruit. Into efficiency, big body, he'll go. And then Kyle Wilson, it's hard to watch BYU play. You know he's not playing with a bunch of NFL guys, and he's very clever and very creative. I saw him for the first time last year. I think he lost. Either they beat USC or lost to Washington. I think I watched both those games, and it felt like something, but those two are going to go. And now they're throwing Mac Jones out for Alabama. Again, I was not impressed last year at all. I didn't get it. But, you know, it's funny. For years and years, I was always like, when in doubt, say quarterbacks in the NFL are not going to be that great. Now when I'm in doubt, I'm like, it's going to work. Because until like 3 years ago, it was like a 50-50 proposition. Half were busts. So if you just wanted to win a bar argument, you just say, nah, it's not going to be that great. And you were almost always right, right? I mean, very few guys were hitting at a high rate. Now it's the opposite. It's like 75% hit rate. Paxton Lynch didn't hit. Josh Rosen didn't hit. But everybody else is kind of – I mean, I watched Josh Allen in college at Wyoming. I thought he had a chance to be a huge bust. I saw him against Oregon. I watched the Oregon-Wyoming game in the Iowa-Wyoming game just to watch him play. I thought he was terrible. I thought he had a huge arm. He was a mess. He was like 55% completion percentage. He rushed things. He had a huge arm, and he was athletic. But I'm like, this is awful. And look at him now. And he's a real player. He's a real player. So there you go. Les Snead, GM of the Rams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, I stand corrected. I don't know why I've been watching Kyle Trask for 3 years, but I guess he wasn't a highly coveted recruit. I've been watching him for 3 years, so I don't know why I know so much about it. Maybe it's because I watch so much. I used to cover Florida football. Maybe it's because I watch so much Florida football. But apparently he was not highly coveted. I stand corrected. Les Snead is the GM of the Rams, and he has drafted 5 Rams who have become Pro Bowlers, and they've not made a first-round pick since 2016. And that was Jared Goff was their last first pick. But again, this year, he hit it out of the park, Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, with guys not in the first round. And I was talking earlier with Mark Dominic, the former exec for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I said, whatever it is, Les Snead, wide receivers, secondary guys, backs, quarterbacks, if you look at his career, he just knows them. Like certain guys know certain positions, and New England can't draft a wide receiver to save their life. And Les Snead, I mean, they have such a surplus of wide receiver tight end talent. It's not fair. And Les is now joining us. So, you know, I was talking to Mark Dominic about this, Les, and I say, you used to be a scout for the Jags, scout for the Falcons. So you've done a really good job. You know the SEC very well. Not that you've leaned on it, but you clearly know Southern football. And is there a sweet spot for you with skill players and receivers and corners? And because you seem to have in your history a real eye for those positions that other organizations can struggle with.
Yeah, that's an interesting. It's almost I'm disappointed in myself a little bit, right? Being an SEC, being back in the day, tight end, so should be into that OL front seven, and they're important. No doubt about it. Very important positions, and they affect the game, and we want to be good there too. But I do think a couple of things. History, being in Atlanta when was a part of Thomas Drafton, Matt Ryan, and him coming from New England, like you said, that and you mentioned, you know, their wide receiver history or non-history, but he was adamant about providing Matt Ryan with weapons, and that led to a Julio Jones trade. And yes, Right now they have a Julio Calvin. And then if you see how the league has gone, And I've always thought 7-on-7 has somewhat – I've joked that 7-on-7's ruining real football. But we're seeing from college to the NFL, spreading things out, skilled players that can get open, that can move the chains, that can make plays in big situations, score touchdowns. All of those things, the way that the game and the sport is going, and also on the other side, covering those players, having a lot of those players because you're going to have attrition during the year, I do think that has led to us prioritizing making sure we're strong with our five eligibles on offense and those players covering the eligibles on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, I think your secondary right now, I think I said it 2 weeks ago. I think you have the best secondary in the league. I think your corners. And the Jalen Ramsey's an interesting situation, Les, because if you look around the NFL right now, the players on the outside, people struggle to cover. DK Metcalf, large. D-Hop, large. Claypool, by the way, Pittsburgh, the rookie, he's a big kid. That a lot of the receivers right now, they're getting bigger, and they're really hard to cover. So you go get a very physical corner, Jalen Ramsey, who you can put on those guys. And I wonder, when you went out and got him, was it just he's talented, or did you see this emergence of some big physical receivers? By the way, Deebo Samuel in your division is another physical wide receiver. Is Jalen Ramsey, was that part of the bigger plan, which is these big receivers, your historical corner at 5'11", 188, can't guard him?
Great point. The answer is yes, to elaborate on that, right? Those bigger receivers, let's go back to the old, like I think of Duane Starks for some reason in Baltimore, Miami corner. Very, right, smaller, slider, quick as a cat, could basically, we call it mirror, right? Could basically match any wide receiver's move. But when their receivers got bigger, right, that's going east and west. That's going horizontally on the field, whether the receiver breaks left or right, what have you. But, hey, when you're big and you can now go up vertically, again, it's like basketball player, right? The taller, bigger, larger person with position can go get the rebound. The shorter point guard can't. Interestingly, on Jalen, right, when we did trade for him, we had Wade here, more man system. Jalen did in his resume, you could go back and watch him, right, really, really give someone like Antonio Brown a problem when he was at Pittsburgh,
Yeah. Especially
during that run when Jacksonville went to the AFC Championship. You could turn around in the division and see him give someone like DeAndre Hopkins problems as well, who gets into your bigger genre. So the key there is Jalen being a large corner, not many of those on the planet, he had that skill set to not only be able to cover and give the smaller receivers a hard time or a tough day's work, but also the larger ones.
I remember when Lane Kiffin was recruiting Jalen Ramsey to he lost to Florida State. They flipped him on the last day. He was at USC. And I remember Lane telling me, he's like, he'll be the best cornerback in the NFL when he arrives. You're not going to believe how good he is. And he was like a top-rated high school player, great in the draft. But I thought it was a little roll of the dice because he was expensive, and you were up against the cap a little, but it's paid off. Now, when you do pay Goff and Darnold and Jalen Ramsey, and you don't have a first-round pick, do you feel some institutional pressure to hit on the rest of them? Because the downside to paying four or five stars is obvious. You can sometimes struggle with depth. Did you feel the last two drafts, hey, guys, staff, this isn't an option. We have to hit on these second, third, and fourth round picks.
Good point, and I like that. Whether it's institutional pressure, I do think it's definitely got to be institutional intention. And with that being said, is we've got to really, as our front office scouting staff collaborates with the coaching staff, really understanding, okay, in those schemes, in those roles that are, like you mentioned, that are not household roles and players aren't going to be household names, but all of those nuances, contexts that make up the sport and are very important on Sundays that may not make headlines, right? And those players can come from all over. We have to be on the same page, right? And it's one thing trying to identify those players, another thing maneuvering within the draft to acquire those players. If we scout a lot and your board ends up with 150 players on there. There's really only there's not many of those 150 that you really, really want. Okay, how do we get those players that we really want? And two other things that are very important, and it comes with the coaching, right? Coaching staffs have to be willing. All of them are probably able to develop players, willing to develop, and then at that point in time, courage to actually put those players in an important role on game day. With us at corner, we go get Jalen, we trade Aqib and Marcus Peters. We now have to, after developing a Troy Hill and Darius Williams, right, the coaching staff's got to be willing to and have the courage to pencil those players into the lineup and let them go do their thing.
Les Snead, ninth-year Rams general manager. I do think they're one of the four best teams in the NFL. I think they have the deepest receiving core and the best secondary currently. And Les has drafted five Pro Bowlers. I'll throw something at you that this wouldn't matter in most markets. But L.A. is different because you have another NFL team in your stadium. You have two NBA teams. In Orange and L.A. County, two baseball teams. And there is limitations even in Los Angeles on consumer money and sponsors who can buy suites. Is that I've had this discussion with friends. I said, when LeBron came to this market, it forces the Dodgers, who were already really good, to go get a Mookie Betts. It forces the Clippers to get a Kawhi. And that when I was watching you build your team, I said it on the air. I said, you know, L.A.'s different. Like, you just can't just win. You got to have a little sizzle. There's got to be, and Sean McVay, by the way, he's a sizzle hire. Good looking, offensive minded. And I think to myself, maybe you never thought of that. But I thought to myself, when you're putting together an LA team, this isn't nothing against Detroit or Baltimore. Like the Ravens are the city, right? Do you ever have to make a decision and literally have to meet with an operations person or Stan Kroenke? You have a discussion that, I mean, does that stuff matter at all, or is it all just get the best players, don't care, win games, enough said, check, 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 check?
That is, great question, and we probably don't have enough time to go into it, but I do think, obviously, in L.A., right, if you just go after sizzle, but the sizzle doesn't work out, right, then that was a bad plan, bad bet, and it's no longer termed sizzle. And it's interesting when you compare the NFL – to NBA Major League Baseball, right? I don't know if there's an NBA player. There's probably a few, and we could discuss who there are that would be or even close to a LeBron figure, right? Because in the NFL, it's a team sport. There's a lot of players on the field. We're wearing helmets and things like that. So those things do come to mind when you're in this LA thing. But I think at the foundational level, too, I think NFL football, like the NBA, like in the MLB, right? But ultimately, NFL football probably tilts more towards the fan base is going to really appreciate a winner in the end versus, okay, let's call it the Rams are a 500 team, but they have this household name, and we're going to bring the kids out just to watch that household name do his thing on Sunday, where maybe that could occur or it does happen with like a LeBron. Hey, let's take the family out to see LeBron, whether the team was wearing away. So that's an interesting, and I'd love to get your insight on that. I think at the foundational level, what we do know is fan bases, especially NFL fan bases, even Los Angeles, are going to really, really appreciate a team that's contending. When a Colin Cowherd mentions on his radio show that we're one of the four best teams, that probably means something in LA. If you mention, hey, we're one of the 12 best teams, maybe means a little less. But all of that, you definitely have to be cognizant of where you're at, what your fans like. But it is a nice coincidence, right, that maybe when we hired Sean McVay, he wasn't sizzle. But if he reached his potential on why we made the bet on Sean, guess what? He was going to score points for
right.
us. That's going to bring a little bit of sizzle
yeah.
to L.A. and be an exciting brand of football and not necessarily the Army brand of football.
So I got to ask you this. We have a minute left. I got to ask you this because I'm into the draft. I sit home at night, and a lot of people watch Netflix. I go online and look at mock drafts. I have no life. So you don't have to be specific, vaguely. Is it a good draft, and where is it really good?
The answer is yes. I do think now the way we scout, I know you got a minute, so I got to hustle. Way we scout, so we're doing underclassmen too, just in case they come out. So I always go, the draft gets, you know, deeper,
sure,
wider, depending on the underclassmen. But I'll give you some tips. With like the OL in this draft, right?
That offensive
wide
line.
Wide receiver. Seems like it's going to be a second year in a row of wide receivers and skill and things like that. So that's two that come to mind as you study it. But right now, we're doing a lot of underclassmen along with the seniors. Depends on who comes out, who doesn't, things like that. That's going to be – and unlike you, as I really focus on the draft this time of year, this is when I do a lot of studying for the draft, I try not to look at any mocks because I don't want to see a name and go, okay, that guy's mocking at number 12 or what have you. I like to try to look at everyone as unbiased as I possibly can this time of year and see where the chips fall after that.
Well, let's go to dinner because I like to sit and talk. I'll just bore the hell out of you. We'll go to dinner and I'll ask you about a left tackle in Purdue and you'll just think this guy's got no life. So let's connect. Talk soon. I loved having you on. You've done a great job, Les, and I could sit and talk to you all day. Thank you.
I could do the same with you, and especially when you're doing radio, right, when it's really interesting. And could listen to you all day. Very insightful. Good for sports.
Thanks, man. Les Snead, Rams GM. All right, Joy, you got some news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Who knew, Colin? Herd hierarchy has that kind of power.
No kidding. We're very powerful. Hey, America! Joy and I are very powerful. Don't mess with us.
Colin Cowherd says that the Rams are one of the top four best teams in the league.
It's very powerful.
It's basically gospel. So it's well known that Ohio native LeBron has been a lifelong Buckeyes fan.
Yeah.
And he's previously tweeted about Chase Young's performances at Ohio State. Well, now Young is playing for the Washington football team and will face LeBron's favorite NFL team, the Cowboys, on Thanksgiving Day. That game is still tomorrow. And Young told reporters this week he's looking forward to LeBron watching the game. It's kind of funny, you know, I think about these young guys coming into these leagues. Like, just how, because LeBron and I are essentially the same age. They look up to LeBron. Like, he is their Michael Jordan, which, like, for me is weird because obviously Michael Jordan is my Michael Jordan.
Right.
But obviously respect LeBron in that way. But, like, Chase Young is a top NFL player, like, superstar, and he's excited that LeBron is going to be watching him on Thanksgiving Day.
And also, LeBron, like Magic Johnson, LeBron and Magic Johnson are also the two most giving superstars. That Magic is always, Magic Johnson's always, he demands, if you move to Los Angeles as an athlete, that you go to lunch with him.
Very accessible.
Yes, Magic's like, no, he'll be offended if you don't go to lunch with Magic, because he's going to tell you, do this, don't do that. He wants you to succeed. Magic is very much, he passed the ball as a guard. He's very much into sharing. Magic is offended if you don't ask for his help in Los Angeles. And LeBron's like that. LeBron
gets very something. Much big brother.
Yeah, they're big brother mentality. And I think it's one of my favorite qualities of Magic, and it's one of my favorite qualities of LeBron.
Absolutely. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced the 25 modern era semifinalists for the class of 2021. Four first-year eligible players, Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, and Jared Allen, have made the list. It will be trimmed to 15 in the coming weeks. And the final class will be announced during NFL Honors the night before the Super Bowl, as it always is. Full list is Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson. You've got Rondé Barber, Tony Baselli, Rodney Harrison, Zach Thomas made the 15 cut, Fred Taylor, Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson and Peyton feel like guaranteed. Peyton and Charles Woodson.
Yeah, so there's a lot of obviously huge names on here. It's a Hall of Fame list, obviously. But I'm really interested to see. You know, there's always some names that have been on the list for a while that have made it down to the cut down every single year that get in. And I'm a Hall of Fame nerd. I think that the NFL Hall of Fame is the most prestigious out of all the Hall of Fames.
Is it?
There's never really any question about, like, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame. Like, basketball is always, like, a debate. Like, is he really a Hall of Famer? Is this person going to get in?
The Basketball Hall of Fame has officials. Like,
The Pro Football Hall of Fame has contributors as well, but it's just different. It feels different. And then the Baseball Hall of Fame is always a big controversy, and it always becomes about the writers. So I love the NFL Hall of Fame and the list. So it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Everyone is very excited. It's going to be a very different holiday this year, but Jalen Ramsey and Marshawn Lynch are getting into the holiday spirit ahead of Thanksgiving. Jalen Ramsey gave back to the LA community, purchased $20,000 worth of Vons grocery store gift cards that were distributed to families during a turkey giveaway in the South LA area. He's from Tennessee. His Ramsey's Reach also donated 60 $50 gift cards to high school students in Nashville this week. And Marshawn Lynch donated 200 turkeys through his Fam First Family Foundation and helped hand them out to residents in Honolulu. So two guys giving back. Marshawn Lynch, one of my favorite players of all time. Helping out the community. People are struggling this year, obviously, as every year, but a little different this year. People are out of work. Obviously, the holidays are going to be tight for a lot of families, so it's a nice thing to do for them to be giving back.
Listen, in Los Angeles County, they're closing restaurants at 10 tonight. And I have multiple friends who work in that industry. It is a killer. It's just you're gonna have to fire people, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. So I have said I pledged I'm gonna order out outside of Thanksgiving dinner. I'm gonna order out for 3 straight weeks because not that I'm some hero, but because I still can't figure out how I can sit in a plane next to you for 5 hours as you cough on me, but I can't sit 12 feet from you outdoors at a restaurant. I have no idea how that works. I'd love to see data that says restaurants are really spreading COVID, because Joy and I have talked about this. Joy flew 5 hours from Miami, and you got a hairy coughing attack sitting next to you, and that's okay. I can't figure...
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. And I would not want to have to be a politician to make these decisions.
No, neither would I.
The community. But, you know, aside from the restaurateurs, all the people that work, you know, servers and bartenders and all those people are
out of work.
I mean, out of work for 3 weeks during the holidays is devastating. So
yeah.
You're on our minds and our hearts.
Yes, absolutely. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Rob Parker, haven't talked to him in a while. He's always funny, joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Rob Parker, by the way, co-host of The Odd Couple, is now joining us. Haven't talked to Rob in a while. So Tom Brady didn't shake Jared Goff's hand. It made me think, I thought, oh, God, Rob Parker's going to freak out. What do you make of Brady not shaking Foles' hand and now Jared Goff?
Colin, first of all, great to talk to you. Tell Joy I said hi. You know what? Tom Brady's better than that. I think it's like that's a character flaw. There's something wrong. This guy has won so much, Colin, 6 Super Bowls, and people have they've shaken his hand. They've congratulated him. They've anointed him. Some people think he's the GOAT and showered all these accolades on him. The least he can do is be a sport about losing and shake the other guy's hand. He was there to shake Jared Goff's hand when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. You can't be like that. And the same thing with Nick Foles. Nick Foles outperformed them in the Super Bowl, you know, made all the throws, won the MVP. And then when they beat him earlier this year in Chicago, Brady was nowhere to be found. He left the field so early, I thought he was like trying to get to the early bird special at the Howard Johnson, so he didn't have any time.
Yeah, well, he goes to bed early, reportedly. Is it possible that Brady and Arians, although both talented, they were never a good fit? One guy wants a gunslinger, and the other guy's not a gunslinger.
I think you're right. I think that people didn't look at it that way. Arians is asking him to do stuff that he doesn't do, which is the long ball, and maybe why Jameis Winston, you know, had a trouble with a lot of interceptions. Of course, 30 is ridiculous, Colin, but I do believe that this is a mismatch, but I don't believe Arians is going anywhere. I think there's more of a chance of Tom Brady calling it quits after this year, especially if this thing flames out. If this thing flames out and he realizes this system isn't going to work, he has all the weapons, everything that you were looking for, and if they don't do what they're supposed to do, this will be a fail in year one, and I think Brady bows out.
By the way, just because somebody struggles, you don't necessarily bail on him. You think the Eagles should stick with Carson Wentz.
Absolutely. Carson Wentz is that kind of quarterback, is a franchise quarterback. This guy was going to win the NFL MVP before he was hurt and missed the last 2.5 games of the year, the same year they won the Super Bowl. And the Eagles have so much confidence in him. I mean, when they signed him to that big contract, I think Carson Wentz took an ambulance to the contract signing. I mean, for them to do that, Colin, tells you what you think about a guy. You know what I mean? To pay a guy who's been banged up and hurt and not even bat an eye. So why would you bail on him now? And look at that team, that mass unit that they've had. It's unbelievable how many injuries and missing pieces, parts, to just blame Carson Wentz.
Can you, you don't like LeBron. Can you acknowledge he's getting all these guys to come to L.A. and take pay cuts? There's a story Anthony Davis may take less to get Giannis. Shouldn't we acknowledge that people do like playing with LeBron? They're willing to take less to play with LeBron. That's nice. You can be nice to LeBron there, right?
Well, I mean, if those guys feel compelled to do that, I think it's dumb to take less. I never believed in that philosophy. Everybody else is making money. You should get what you're entitled to. Taking pay cuts for him, and you know what? I don't believe Giannis is coming to L.A. I just can't buy into that. I think Giannis winds up staying in Milwaukee. But LeBron, if that's what he has to do, Colin, it hasn't really worked out. If you're honest about it, he's won 4 championships in 17 years. Kawhi Leonard had a chance to go there and be on Easy Street. He turned it down. Paul George had 2 opportunities to go. There are other players who don't want to be a part of that, who would rather fight their own way through it. LeBron has ruined the competitive balance of the league, and yet he still hasn't won at a clip that makes him far superior than anybody. He's gotten there, but he hasn't won.
You love MJ. Is there ever a moment you don't like things MJ did or does?
Yes. His name is Gordon Hayward. I mean, Colin, what is Michael Jordan and Mitch Kupchak thinking? I mean, talk about a guy who can't stay healthy. And when he was healthy in Boston, averaged 13.9 points. And then the guy opts out of a contract. Everybody thinks he's crazy to opt out of a contract, considering his track record. And he goes and Charlotte gives him $120 million. I mean, you might as well go to the top of the biggest building in Charlotte and throw the money off the roof. It's the same thing.
Oh, come on.
I mean, Colin, I can't believe that Michael Jordan continues to sign off on these ridiculous contracts, ridiculous picks. And then LaMelo Ball, I mean, given Michael Jordan's track record, he's destined to be a bust because all the guys that Adam Morrison, Kwame Brown, I could go on and on and on. Michael is the GOAT with a capital G-O-A-T as a player, but as an owner, it's the lowercase GOAT, G-O-A-T.
Rob Parker, co-host of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard. Are you staying in L.A. for Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. I'm filling in for Dan Patrick.
Oh, great.
First in the morning, and then I'm going to do The Odd Couple. So I'm working both days double dipping in the company pond.
By the way, do you have any new suits you bought at Nordstrom Rack?
You know I'm still finding great deals all the time, so hopefully I'll be able to show it to you real soon.
Have you left your house? Have you left your place yet during COVID? You're very COVID aware.
Yes, I'm aware, but no, I have left. You know, I went to the World Series in Dallas, so I've gone a couple places and been very careful about it. And we just got to work our way through it, man. A vaccine's coming. Better times are coming, Colin, in 2021.
Totally agree. He teaches sports commentary at USC. Columnist, Deadspin.com, Rob Parker. It's great talking to you, Rob.
Always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll talk to you guys soon. See you soon.
You bet. I told my wife that last night. It looks like we have a vaccine's very close, 96% hit rate. So you cross your fingers on this stuff. Obviously, people in hospitals and medical professionals will get it before the rest of us, which they should. It's very, you know, listen, this has been rough, but I feel very fortunate to have worked with you. You're a good talker and a good teammate. So if we can get through June, July, and August, God, which was purgatory. Have a nice Thanksgiving. You're staying here, right?
You too. You too. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Be safe.
Are you staying here in LA, Joy?
Be courteous. Yeah, just sticking around. Just stay laying low.
All right, Greg, John, happy holidays, everybody. Please be safe. Enjoy your families. We'll talk Monday. It's the Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.